Technorama episode 333 for February 15, 2012. Bad commander file name.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
You know, have I ever asked where the restrooms are for this podcast?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for February 15, 2012. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. Craig, please tell me you have a witty phrase or quote or something this week.
No, I didn't do my homework.
This is going so well.
Yes.
We got to work on that.
Just give me 1 second, I'll come up with a good one.
Think of things during the week that make you laugh or chuckle, or you hear a phrase to a book. You know, there can be only one. You know, something like that. One. There's a plethora of them out there.
I got one. Phone home.
How about phone us?
Yeah, phone us.
206-222-CHAT.
There is no podcast.
Oh, it's going to be another week like that. Yes. Coming up in this episode, we have Don't Like What Your Kids Are Doing Online. We've got an answer for that. A wedding proposal based on our show sign-off.
What?
And do you remember the first PC game? It's back. All that and more coming up right after this.
This is Richard Green, a.k.a. Mainframe. And if you only have time for one geek podcast, you know which one you have to listen to. And of course, that's Technorama with Chuck and Craig. But if you have time to listen to another one, well, you probably want to listen to Chuck and Craig's other podcast. But if you still have time for at least one other podcast, I'd encourage you to come over to my podcast, Geek Out with Mainframe, at geekoutwithmainframe.com, where I have interviews with people like Michael Plested, Gerald Axelrod, PC Herring, J.R. Murdoch, Christiana Ellis, Mark the Encaffeinated One Killful, Paul E. Cooley, Nathan Lowell, with more to come. And of course, kudos to Chuck and Craig for having what is probably one of the best podcasts on the whole internet.
Hi, this is Dean Hagel from The X-Files, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
I want to believe.
Every week we do the show live on Sunday nights. We want to see you there. We're doing this again as a Google Plus Hangout. We'd love to see you online. We've got our chat room. We got the people on the live cam. We've got the... I'm trying to switch windows so I can actually give a shout out to these people. This is looks more like a police lineup than a Google Plus Hangout. We've got the usual suspects in here. Craig Glasner, a.k.a. Ranger Craig from Alcatraz. We've got Eric Rice. We got you and me, Mad Marv, Tim Elliott, and a couple open parking spaces in the left side of the parking lot for you if you're joining a little late. Love to see you there.
When you say you and me, is that like relative to whoever's listening to the show?
You, as in Craig. Me, as in Chuck.
You, Tarzan. No, me, Tarzan. You, Jane.
Enough of the chat room and stuff. We want to see you there. We're there every Sunday, 9:30 at Eastern time. Got to make sure I get the time zones right. I'm still screwed up in the head.
Some things never change.
Yeah, okay. Looking at the birthday calendar, we've got February 15th, Philip from Australia. We have not heard from him in a long time. Hope Philip's doing all right.
Maybe he found that large iPod we had him send him on looking for yeah. a long time ago.
Instead of the VLA for the very large array, it's a VLI, a very large iPod. February 19th is Scooter in Connecticut and Stephen Sumter on the same days. They're both S in somewhere. If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, go to chuckchat.com/wiki and we will give you a shout out at the right time of year. If it's your birthday this week and you're not on the calendar, happy birthday anyway. We wish you and everyone else all the best. On this day in history for February 15th, 2012... It was on this date in 1946 that the ENIAC, the first electronic general-purpose computer, is formally dedicated at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia.
On that same date in 1971, the decimalization of the British coinage is completed on this day in decimal day.
Sound recordings are granted U.S. federal copyright protection for the first time on this date in 1972.
February 15, 1982, the drilling rig Ocean Ranger sinks during the storm off the coast of Newfoundland, killing 84 workers.
At the Xichang Satellite Launch Center in China, a Long March 3 rocket carrying an Intelsat 708, sounds like a processor, crashes into a rural village after takeoff, killing an undisclosed many people in 1996.
And just 11 years ago in 2001, the first draft of the complete human genome is published in Nature.
That must have been an interesting read, kind of like when you read those old basic programs that you typed in the back of the computer magazines.
Yes, in the Compute Gazette. I'm typing in the genome.
Happy birthday goes out of this date to Italian astronomer and physicist Galileo Galilei. Born on this date in 1564. Do you think Galileo can do the Fandango?
And Cyrus McCormick, American inventor, was born today in 1809.
Also born on this date in 1812, jeweler Charles Lewis Tiffany.
And Irish Antarctic explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton was born on this date in 1874.
Turning 78 today, Swiss computer scientist Nicholas Wirth.
And astronaut Roger Chaffee is born today in 1935.
One of our favorite cartoonists, Matt Groening, turns 58.
And finally, NASA astronaut Leland D. Melvin celebrates his 48th birthday today.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for February 15th, 2012. Craig, we have listener feedback.
We do?
Yeah, we have some voicemail finally.
Oh, what did we say that was wrong?
That's usually when we get the feedback, isn't it?
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Proof that the listener line still is working, and I missed a week, or actually two, because one of them came in around your birthday. What was that, about a month ago?
Close.
So here's a belated birthday wish.
Hey, Craig. This is Matt calling from California. Just calling to wish you a very, very happy birthday, and hope this next year, your next trip around the sun is an awesome one. Happy birthday. An awesome show this week, as always. See ya. Bye.
You have to have a ticket to ride around the sun again.
Yeah. I need a ticket to ride. Yeah, I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. And my son even said that the other day. He says, wow, you just went around the sun another time.
So, that's yes, going to be a pretty popular phrase.
Yeah.
We also have a voicemail from Susie the Geek from How to Grow Your Geek podcast. Ding.
Okay.
And we were talking about research papers and how to translate what the real meaning was behind those things last week. And apparently it struck a funny bone with her because she's written a research paper. And she went, yes, that's exactly it. Let me play that for you.
Hey, guys. It's Susie the Geek. And I've been meaning to send y'all a voicemail. But I was just listening to the show from the other night. And when y'all were talking about how to read a research paper, I just about started rolling in the floor because that is totally what it was like when I did my master's thesis. You pretty well interpreted it all correctly, especially the part where this person helped me with understanding the problem and this person helped me, interpret the results. Yeah, I was in psychology, so when I was doing the statistics involved with my report, I did have to get a little bit of help because that wasn't my strong point. But then I got someone to explain it to me so I could explain it for my paper. So I totally understand what it's like to do a research paper. And that is one of the big ones, doing a master's thesis or a doctoral dissertation. And, of course, I didn't get any significant results. In the meantime, I wanted to let y'all know I'm loving the show, and you guys always do a great job. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
That last part, does she... she actually know who she's talking to?
No. And we have one from somebody we haven't heard in a long time, famous enough to have their own bumper.
Hi, this is Mark from Memphis.
Who's Mark from Memphis?
Howdy, this is Mark from Memphis.
I knew a Mark from New Jersey once.
Howdy, this is Mark in Memphis.
Oh, Mark from Memphis.
Hey, guys, it's Mark in Memphis. I was listening to show 332, and I found the conversation about key pass and that kind of stuff very interesting. Mm-hmm. Especially when Chuck said, so do yourself a favor and get something like that. Because if you are like me, and I know I am, I can never remember passwords. If you are like me, and I know I am... I like that. That was funny. It's Mark and Memphis. Bye.
The number you have reached has been changed to a non-published number.
2 in 1 week, we struck 2 phony bones.
That is funny.
Comedy snipers. Can't make everybody laugh, but we'll get them one at a time.
Yeah. Eventually we'll be done.
Everyone,
hey, there is impending news. Apparently this gentleman didn't like the way his daughter was dealing on Facebook and had his own way of dealing with the subject. I think this is pretty well circulated, but
yeah, because I looked at this YouTube site and he got like 15 million hit, you know, views by now.
How do you not pass up a title like this on Technorama? Dad shoots daughter's laptop with a 45 because of Facebook post. It's a father reacting to a post his daughter made on Facebook. He wasn't happy. There's a video that you can skip ahead to about 7 minutes or so. You know, is this real or is this just a ploy for some YouTube love?
No, they had him on like the Today Show and stuff. You know, he made the rounds. Yeah. No, it's for real, man.
He was actually on real media. I mean, old media.
Old media.
Yeah. Because they get their news from new media. Did you notice that? I'm watching, like, what? CNN, and half the stories I see at 7 a.m. in the morning are things I read on news feeds the day before.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. They can't run the Today Show in the middle of the night, you know, to catch up.
No, but CNN is 24 hours. They should have this stuff within hours or minutes of when it comes out, not the next day.
Yeah, well, considering they have that whole iReport thing, you think they would pick up on stuff. Bigger. Anyway, I want to say what was funny was the beginning of the video. He starts describing how he spent half his day working on a laptop for his daughter, installing new software and whatever other stuff he was doing. Probably upgraded to Windows 7 or something, but because he said he spent $140 on this, that, and the other, and he found this message. What's funny, see, is I don't know why she wouldn't think I would find it, because he works in IT. So, you know, he's got access to her laptop. Well, she blocked her parents from seeing this post that he made on Facebook, or she made on Facebook.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, and the post was like, oh, you need to pay me for that kind of stuff, you know, for my chores and all this kind of thing. And that's what really started to tick him off. And of course he saw the post when he had access to her computer because she didn't sign out. See, she should be using LastPass or 1Password or something.
How about a screen lock?
A screen lock.
Oh my goodness.
He was working on it anyway. So I didn't have a problem with it. I don't mind. I always like seeing people shoot, you know, computers with guns. We've seen that before on the show. You've done it before, right?
That's just wrong. What could you possibly teach your child by shooting a computer with a gun?
Well, I was telling my wife, I said, well, I don't know if I'd go so far as to shoot it because I would want to use the laptop somewhere, you know, myself. But I would take it away from my kid, sure.
Yeah, take it away and
sell it.
Reformat it or whatever. You sell it. You lose the money.
Let's put this on Craigslist.
Hacks and strange stories. All right, you know that old saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch?
Sure.
Well, we've got, there's no such thing as a free cup of coffee. Apparently, there's a coffee shop in Helsinki that is technically gratis, which I think it's French for free, or Swedish for free. No, Helsinki's in Norway? But I forgot. It's Helsinkish for free. Except the cost of having to enjoy the coffee is, it's controlled by the internet. The lights, the music, and even the height of the chairs and tables are controlled remotely throughout the Kohaku Coffee Shop's website. And once you've taken control of a certain aspect, live video stream lets you witness firsthand the mayhem you're causing. Now this sounds like a lot of fun, right? Sitting there,
sure.
some poor guy sitting down over his coffee, and all of a sudden the height of the table changes, so when he sets his coffee cup back down, it makes a big spill, lands on his laptop, ha-ha, everybody's funny.
I just started thinking, you know, I don't know if I'd want to pull something like that, because I keep thinking of that woman that sued McDonald's and because of the hot coffee.
Drink at your own risk.
Yeah.
Furniture, lighting, and music subject to change without notice.
Or height of the tables.
Right. What if you made the table go down and the chair go up? Would you cut off somebody's legs at the knees?
I don't know. Usually, you know, it's usually drinking beer, and you know, that feels like the tables change height over time, you know.
This would be like a video game. You could have, you know, a couple people battling each other.
Battling each other. I like how this guy struggles to get in the chair. Oh, that's funny. I've had office chairs like that. You're sitting in it and it starts creeping down.
Oh, yeah, where the little gas jet starts letting loose.
Yeah. Either one, the gas jet's messed up, or I need to lose some weight.
Either way, yeah, that'll work.
Or both.
Both.
Hey.
Okay, now I'm sure the regular listener is well aware that every show for the past umpteen years we've been signing out with a binary high five 101, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Binary, for those of you who aren't very technical, is the language of computers of zeros and ones. Well, this guy thought it would be fun to propose to his girlfriend with a video. So he puts on a Bender helmet. That's already a bad sign. And he spews out this video for about 3 minutes, going 10010011010101. And it's kind of boring to watch the video for the whole 3 minutes. So I fast forward and go, yep, he's still saying it. Yep, he's still saying it. Well, she transcribed this. And after about 30 minutes of decoding, realized it said, "Rachel, you are awesome. Will you marry me?" And of course, she said, "Zero."
Well, she should have. He should have said that first before he spewed off all those zeros, ones and zeros.
Next time, try hexadecimal. It's faster.
Use Bitly for what you're trying to say.
I just send her to a short URL.
Hey, I got an idea. If we can come up with an API where I could crunch down what I'm trying to say using a service like Bitly.
Isn't that what the binars did on Star Trek Next Generation?
It was not compressed at all. It was ones and zeros coming out of their mouths.
And you could intercept the stream real easy. How secure wasn't that? Unless they had some sort of encryption between the two. I mean, that would have made sense.
They don't want to make their message even longer.
They can only talk to each other in 140 character streams at a time.
Yeah. I'm going to email Bitly. I want a vocal Bitly. There we go.
A vocal Bitly?
I think people should say what they have to say in less time.
Yeah. See, Eric Rice in the video has the right idea. We ought to just be able to speak QR code.
Yeah. Just have it display on my glasses and people have to keep scanning my glasses.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. That guy sitting there, he put the Bender helmet on to propose.
I don't understand what the Bender helmet was all about.
You know, I'm a geek, but I have my limits.
She better love Futurama. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Good news, hey. Everyone.
Hey, what's funny is she has one eye and purple hair.
No, what was Bender's girlfriend name at the hangar factory?
Oh, it was Michelle.
That's not a good robot name.
That's what it was.
Okay. Happy birthday, Matt Groening. We love you on this day, but you're not very good at making up robot names. In the Remember When segment, we have an article from 1930. Apparently, robots were interested in killing the music industry, since we're on the topic of robots tonight.
Everybody was.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Well, in the 1930s, robots were killing the music industry. We've all heard that the internet is really killing the music industry, just like home taping was supposed to kill it before. As it turns out, accusations that technology would destroy music go all the way back to the 1930s, when musicians claimed tyrannical robots would churn out soulless music. Well, that's partly true if you think about synthesizers.
Well, if you mean by robots, you mean RIAA.
Synchronized sound may have been a wonder to the theater audiences when they saw it in 1927's The Jazz Singer, but to some musicians, it signaled the death knell of live performances. In 1930, the American Federation of Musicians formed the Music Defense League, which launched a $500,000 ad campaign asking the public to petition the live musicians in lieu of canned pre-recorded music.
Wait a minute, that's a lot of money for the 30s.
That would have bought like 3 Super Bowl ads back then. The ads featured robots playing instruments accompanied by claims that soulless machines would destroy the emotional art of music. Even films were not exempt from the musicians' doomsayers, who believed that audiences would grow weary of the lack of emotion in film performances, said Joseph N. Weber, president of the American Federation of Musicians. The time is coming fast when the only living thing around a motion picture house will be the person who sells you the ticket. Everything else will be mechanical.
Yeah.
Canned
drama.
That's
exactly what happened.
Canned music. Canned vaudeville. Yeah, that canned vaudeville really took off, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We think the public will tire of mechanical music and will want the real thing. We're not against scientific development of any kind. This electricity thing is just a fad. But it must not come at the expense of art. We're not opposing the industrial progress. We're not even opposing mechanical music, except where it's used as a profiteering instrument for artistic debasement. Wow.
Tim Elliott and Mad Marv in the chat room both said, you know, before that it was the piano rolls.
Those scrolls are going to ruin everything.
They're going to run us out of the saloon. We can't play any more music here. That Gutenberg press is going to kill us with all that sheet music.
It could happen.
That's funny.
Yeah, just like they said, what was it, bathrooms would waste all the time with the employers and people would spend all their time on the phone and then they'd spend all their time wasted on the internet. Oh my, some people never learn.
Yeah.
It just becomes a fact of life.
I don't spend any time on the internet during the workday.
Right. That's how you find all
just
your answers.
In case my boss is listening.
That's how you actually do your job.
Yeah, actually it is. See, I can't never figure out if I'm addicted to the internet or I just spend a lot of time on it.
Was that a rhetorical statement or something? I didn't follow that at all. Well, I'll think about it while we take a quick break in the and come back with the media corner.
No, not rhetorical. It was recursive.
Recursive. All I know is it hurt. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with the media corner. At last, technology has caught up with nature. First, there was one blade, then two. 3, 4, and finally 5. The Technorama Science Center has gone way beyond all that. Introducing Technorama's Cheese Grater. With 256 blades, you'll get the closest shave ever. Just one pass up and down and you'll never have to shave again. The first blade pushes down the skin. The second lifts the whisker. The third cuts the whisker close. The rest just scrape away the epidermis and dermis until you have no face left. Never shave again with the Technorama Cheese Grater. Available wherever kitchen implements are sold. Warning, Technorama and Chuck Chat are not responsible for any physical damage done by running a cheese grater over your face or any other part of your body. If you experience discomfort, consult a physician.
Hi, this is Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles, and you are listening to Technorama, because you're in the cool club.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Okay, Craig, do you remember the 70s show Space 1999?
Yes.
Do you remember watching
it? Oh, you want me to elaborate?
That'll teach me for asking closed questions.
Yes, I do. I remember watching it some, but I'll be honest with you. I haven't ever watched it again, but I remember thinking, oh, that's cool. The ships and stuff and the, it's about the moon traveling around or something like that.
We are way overdue for some of this sci-fi. Wasn't the Jupiter 2 supposed to take off like in 1997 or something?
Boy, they failed on that. What a movie tie-in that'd have been.
The moon colonies aren't quite there yet, but Newt Gingrich will get us there. Well, Space 1999 is going to be remade only because 1999 has passed, that they're going to call it Space 2099.
Mm, yeah. I see. That's clever.
Because Hollywood, once again, can't think of anything new, so they go back to the 70s and dig something up. Let's do Fantasy Island.
And you know, when it's 2099, guess what they're going to do?
What?
2199.
Then Prince will have to redo his song. Tonight I'm going to party like it's 2099. Anyway.
Forget that.
I was dreaming when I wrote this show.
Hmm.
Forgive me if it goes astray.
Put on your red beret and keep going.
It's a raspberry beret.
Oh, what'd I say? Red beret?
The green berets are going to get you.
Okay, anyway.
Do you think this show has any validity? I mean, could it be any good?
I don't know. It's too early to tell. What's the, it said down here, the same guy that's doing the effects for, that did the effects for the V show is going to be doing it. That's kind of cool. I think he did it. I think the effects were okay on V.
You do realize that if the moon did get blasted out of orbit, it's the end of the world for the people that are left behind on the Earth. Because the moon, maybe I'm taking this too scientifically, and they didn't think about this in the 70s, but the moon stabilizes our orbit. And, you know, we're at 23.5 degrees tilt, right? Mm-hmm. Go around the sun, and the moon helps keep that in check. If we lose the moon, the axis of the Earth starts to wobble, and we will get holy crazy weather if that starts to happen.
Now, how do you know that?
I watch a lot of science shows, dude.
No, I mean, we've always had the moon.
We haven't always had the moon. And we know that from planets that don't have moons. Haha. So there.
Okay.
Don't argue with science.
Fine. I'll take your logic.
Don't make me get Fraser Cain and Pamela Gay in this discussion.
Yeah, see, that would be cool. We should get them in. Anyway, so I don't know if it's too early to tell. Got to see what happens. There's no script or anything. That's what it said in the article.
It just smells like a bad idea again. But I've been wrong once or twice.
Well, I did like that little ship. I think it was called the Eagle One, Eagle something.
The old cheesy 70s ships?
Yeah.
You mean like the giant car on Logan's Run?
Yeah, the giant... giant car, look like a hover car, you know.
Hover car? I think it looked like one of those tornado chaser vehicles.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
All right, George Lucas has come out and admit that Greedo really shot first. Now, this may not seem like much to many of you, but, you know, this has been a running debate since day one. Who shot first? The article from IO9 reads, "The George Lucas has already sworn to stop making big-budget movies in response to fans' criticisms, but he still has an axe to grind. In particular, it's about the common complaints about his endless revision of the original trilogy. In the new interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Lucas addressed these long-standing complaints, saying that Blade Runner has gotten recut three ways from Sunday, and nobody seems to mind. Well, as long as Snooki's not still in it, I'm okay. But also, he claims that the intention was always that Greedo shot first, and that the original sequence just had an editing problem." Yeah, like a wardrobe malfunction.
Editing problem. Yeah, his hands on it.
This is Lucas's quote. "The controversy over who shot first, Greedo or Han Solo in episode 4, what I did was try to clean up the confusion. But obviously it upset people because they wanted Solo, who seemed to be the one who shot first in the original, to be the cold-blooded killer. But he actually isn't. It had been done in all close-ups, and it was confusing about who did what to whom. I put a little wider shot in there and made it clear that Greedo was the one who shot first."
Yeah, that helped.
"But everyone wanted to think that Han shot first because they wanted to think that he actually just gunned him down. So there you have it. Lucas isn't making huge revisions to undermine the character arc for Han Solo or remove all the rough edges from his character. He's just fixing some weaknesses in his direction the first time around." You believe him, right?
Sure. When in the first movie, you know, it clearly looked like Han shot first.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
I'm gonna say this. I never came across thinking that he was a cold-blooded killer because he shot first. You know what I was thinking?
He's saving his skin.
He was a survivor.
Right.
Yeah, he's saving his skin. And he's a tough guy, and he's gotta make tough things happen. You know, he's got to protect himself, and he shot. That's what I got from that.
We've all watched that thing frame by frame to settle this argument for ourselves, depending on which revision you're watching, of course.
I never thought he was a cold-blooded killer until they said something. Somebody goes, I was like, are you kidding? I always thought it was just part of his, you know, he's a smuggler, so survival instinct, he saved himself.
Speaking of Star Wars, they re-released episode 1 in 3D. Have you seen it?
Yes, I did.
Why?
Well,
I can think of two things wrong with that title. Star Wars 1 in 3D.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I'll tell you this. My brother-in-law was taking somebody, and so I knew Harrison to be honest with you, he hadn't seen it in like a long time. I think I tried to show him Star Wars in general too early. So I thought, well, this might be fun to go take him to go see it. And sure enough, he came away from it enjoying, you know, a little more excited about Star Wars in general than he had before. He just wasn't into it. But it came out, he's like, let's watch the second one. What happens? You know? And I was like,
I hate Jar Jar.
Yeah. Nobody came across from that with a different opinion about Jar Jar. I tried to go in there again with a clear mind. It's hard to do that because you've seen it so many times, but it's
tainted.
But it was, but no, I will say it was fun being there. All the people had, or not all of them, but several kids had robe, you know, Jedi robes on and lightsabers and
fun.
It was a lot of fun. Again, I love the story itself. The book was great. I enjoyed it a lot more than I did the
graphic novel.
The effects are cool. You know, there's some cool things to see. The pod race is awesome. Well, you already know all that because of you've seen the movie before, but it was just fun being around everybody and seeing it. And Harrison came away enjoying it. So we watched Attack of the Clones, which I personally like a little bit better. So anyway, a lot of fun.
And Darth Maul.
Darth Maul getting cut in half. Hey, we also saw another movie this last week. Harrison and my wife came up to Charlotte and I met him over at Discovery Place and we went to the IMAX theater. And they, I'm sorry, it's an OmniMax, where the big 360, you know, screen, not 360 exactly, 180 or whatever, but the huge screen, and watched the show called Space Junk. And they're talking about satellites, colliding, or there's so much debris that once you get a couple of big debris fields, they're going to start hitting other things and kind of cascade effect, and it'll be almost impossible to do any kind of space travel to get out of our, you know, our atmosphere.
It'll be like Chronicles of Riddick, Pitch Black, where all those things start firing through your spacecraft and killing half the people.
A lot of you may already know, but those things are going at 15 to 17,000 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's a bolt or a big beam. It's you're gonna have some damage. So it was really cool. They had a gentleman, and I'm trying to remember his name, from NASA, and he was the one that kind of spearheaded this whole, we got to be careful with this stuff, because once you start getting some debris and things starting to collide, it's going to be a big mess. And you won't even be able to have satellites up there at some point.
We can thank the Chinese for blowing up their satellites and solving the problem.
Well, that was one. They didn't mention Chinese, but they did mention that a missile going up and they shot one, blew up a satellite, and it was a big debris field. And that was causing a problem, or causing some problems. So, it's pretty amazing. And some of the solutions were cool. They talked about like almost a robotic satellite with a laser to start shooting some of the things and change its trajectory and make it go down and burn. One was like a big fishing net, you know, like it would drag and collect these things.
If they're moving at 15,000 miles an hour, how are you going to catch them? They'll go right through your net.
Dude, they track the space shuttle to the IIS and dock. You go the same direction and speed as those things. And then
you're going to have to catch like one bolt at a time.
Well, no, I think when they blow up a satellite, a lot of it's probably traveling in like a kind of a cloud in the same direction. I don't know. Orbital dynamics was not, you know, a part of my curriculum.
Going to need a guy like Quark, not from Deep Space Nine, the space junk collector show from the 70s.
Start seeing a bunch of stuff show up on eBay and Craigslist.
Right. Now, this was a show or a documentary or what was this? A movie?
It was like a documentary at the Discovery Place, you know, it's educational type thing.
Okay.
Cool. And they had another solution was like almost like garbage trucks with, you know, robots would go out and grab them and put them in there and then they would bring them back down.
That's what I was talking about. Quark.
Or yeah,
go look it up.
Yes, right. They had an orbital station where they can recycle all that stuff.
We are going to finish up with the Geek Library. Do you know what the first PC game was?
Pong.
No. That was like one of the early video games.
Leisure Suit Larry?
The first one that came out on DOS was co-written by Bill Gates. It was a game called Donkey.
I do remember this, but...
It was a driver game where you're driving down the road in either the left lane or the right lane, and there would be a donkey, and you'd have to dodge it. And if you didn't dodge it, your car would kind of crappy crash.
When you're driving down a road, and you're feeling a little low... I'll stop.
Hit a donkey, and your car would sort of split in half with this bad crashing effect.
I have played this before. I didn't realize it was the first one.
It's a long way. Well, now you can own Donkey for 99 cents on your iPhone. That's something I'm rushing out to do.
Is Bill Gates starting to cash in on that app, Apple App Store?
Does he still own the licensing rights? Yeah. 70 cents at a time. He's still taking over the world.
This reminds me of Spy Hunter.
This is really bad. I do vaguely remember. It was one of those games that you played for about 5 minutes and went, that's it. Okay, I'm done.
Thanks, Bill, for the good time.
But if you want to get nostalgic and feel like you're back in the 80s, go ahead. Donkey for 99 cents. We've all spent 99 cents on stupider things, so why not?
I like donkey.bas.
That's what it was. It was an old BASIC program.
Yeah. No, it's just the extension. I thought it was funny.
It wasn't a .com. Back when .com meant a compiled program.
That's right.
Do you remember the difference between .coms and .exes?
Does one have a library with it?
Nope.
Oh, no, then I don't. What was it?
.exes were relocatable in memory. You could put them anywhere. .coms had to go into a fixed address space. There you go. From the Walking Computer History Museum.
Okay, nerd. Move on.
That's it. Technorama. Ask the nerd. If we don't know, we'll make something up.
Stump the nerd.
And we talked last week about how to read a research paper. Well, this is a scientific way to read a menu. Now, tell me if this sounds like you when you walk into a restaurant. For decades, the restaurant trade has believed that there's a sweet spot on the menus they hand you. A section in the upper right corner, your gaze will focus. And that's where they tend to list their highest markup dishes. But I don't know if we're really that gullible. Do you think so?
I went to a restaurant today and I don't remember looking in the top right. I remember looking like just under the appetizers, you know, right in the middle.
Apparently the conventional wisdom, which is even peddled by consultancy firms, gets something like this. When you pick up a menu, your gaze instantly hits the right-hand side, just a little above the center. From there, you'll head to the top right corner, then across to the top left, and then you'll head down the entire left-hand side and finish filling the gaps that are... left around, you know, where you didn't already gaze. Now, Donna and I just went out to a Mexican restaurant. And of course, it opened up as a bifold thing. So I don't know where if you consider the right being the right side of the fold.
There's actually two upper rights.
Sure. And I was thinking about how did I actually scan that menu? And it was close. I didn't start in the upper left and go all the way down the left column, then go down the next column. And then you do kind of scan around. So I guess... first, here's my method. Look for things that are the right appropriate time of day. So if you're there at lunch, you can skip to the lunch menu. If you're not there at lunch, you stay away from the lunch menu and the kids menu and things like that, right? And then I start to scan. I go like, at a Mexican restaurant, do I want fajitas? Because there's about three or four of those. Do you want burritos? And where those are, I just kind of scan around and go, does this look good? Does this look good? Does this look good? No, that one's got, mushrooms. I don't feel like mushrooms tonight. So, it isn't a systematic right to left, top to bottom scan. There is some strange way that, at least for me, that I pick apart a menu.
I still look, how much are these things?
If the prices aren't listed, you should walk out immediately.
If you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Do you have any truffles?
No, I don't know. I kind of look for price. I look, in that in between thing, I'm like, between what I want, and then I kind of look at the prices. I don't know.
Wow, you're a riot on Valentine's Day, aren't you? No, honey, can't have that. I'm cheap tonight.
I said me, not on order for her. I would never do such a thing.
The breadsticks are free, right? We'll split an order.
In fact, bring us two. We're going crazy tonight.
We're done being crazy for tonight. That's the end of the show.
Hey, by the way, you know what's funny? Usually we have our scout den meetings on Tuesday nights, and I had somebody ask me, are you having a meeting this, we're recording this before Valentine's, of course. I asked me, we're having a meeting Tuesday night. You know, I like being married.
That takes us to the end of the show. Here's a teaser for you. We are going to be interviewing Ranger Craig Glasner from Alcatraz in a few more days, and we will get that out into the feed ASAP. So we're back on the interviewing trail, and I hope you enjoy that one. We're going to be doing that for you. So I thought I'd mention that and give you something to look forward to, aside from us just jabbering every week, but we'll get you another special out there. We appreciate you listening. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. If you're a returning listener, thank you for coming back. There are many ways to show your love. If you want to get in touch with us, like Susie and Matt and Mark did, you can call us on the listener line. Still works, as evidence from their calls. 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, if you come across something interesting, funny, strange, unusual, that you feel fits into one of our major categories, like the news, hacks, and strange stories, Remember When, Media Corner, or Geek Library. Send it along, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'll put it through our very strict scrutinization process.
What was that Frank Zappa had? The scrutinizer?
The scrutinizer. It's basically a flip of the coin and do we have enough material this week?
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Thank you to Mad Mar for providing great blog content during the week while we're scouring the internet for all these crazy stories. He's actually posting a few of them, and hope you enjoy that. If you're not checking out the website at chuckchat.com/technorama, or subscribing to the news feed, shame on you. You should be. Then you can get it automatically delivered to you. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just search for Technorama. I feel lucky. That's what you do on Google. Well, I feel lucky today. Thanks to everybody who sent us links during this week. We did put them through our scrutinization process. And thanks to everybody joining us on the live hangout. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media and all the great shows over there. Great stuff you can find if you're not finding something you like. Look harder! Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama, and as always, a binary high five.
101!
Just get up after you did.
He's not a man. Machine. Terminator. Cyberdyne Systems Model 101.